B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm going in, whatever it takes to win. Tom Brady, Tom Brady. I'm going in, whatever it takes to win. Tom Brady at the rap game.
Hey, baby, what's cooking? I'm Tom Brady, good looking. And when I make that pass, you can catch my balls with your ass. Yeah, I'm going downtown all the way. Five rings, bitch, put me in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Why you whacking up tight? I put the ball to your upright. Touchdown when I touch brown. F*** around. Think I'm cheating? I am big stuff now. New England, I'm the pigskin. Big poster boy for white privilege. I'm blowing up, now you start to deflate. Never had this overturned by a replay. Hell no, going deep in your end zone. Now put them t*** out, who the f*** you bled zone? I'm going in, whatever it takes to win.
How is that?
That is Stroker DeLuca. It's Tom Brady of the rap game. And wow, the whole thing is phenomenal.
That's great.
Did you listen to the lyrics?
Yeah, I did listen to the lyrics. Terrible.
All right. You know it's done as like a joke, right?
Oh.
Did you listen to the lyrics?
I did listen to the lyrics.
Okay.
I'm missing it on several levels, apparently.
I think so, yeah.
All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. What an exciting day today in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. It's our worst in Brady contest today. And Pasta Joe and Nora and Fat Tony are all going to be in studio, along with three contestants.
It is going to be about five more people than we have microphones for.
Yeah.
So just, we're just cramming people in a corner, and who knows if we'll even talk to any of them. Maybe one, two.
Oh, God, possibly. I forgot all that crap.
Well, oh, the stuff that we're going to use to measure their...
Yeah, I got to go get someone to go down there. Damn it. All right.
To Newton?
Yeah.
I guess Nick better leave now, or Bird.
I'm going to go Bird on this one. Bird, I need you to go to my house. I apologize for that. I completely flaked on that. Oh, boy.
All right. So going to Newton and back, if you leave now, you'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
You'll be back by like, you know, 7, a little after 7.
Oh, yeah. He'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me 20 minutes to get here.
You leave in 30 minutes... My man's
triples.
F.
triples
you
the
are
time.
Screwed. Yeah. I think it's right around 6:30.
I would bet.
Is when you are going to hit the soup. So
yeah, he's fine. He's fine right now. It took me 20 minutes to get here. So he'll be okay. I got to just write down my address and where these apparatuses are.
Okay.
Apparati.
Is Stephanie up this early? Because, I mean, is she just going to put it at the front door for him, I guess?
I'm going to have to call.
Okay, yeah, because she could just, like, leave it on a bag on the front porch, and you could just, you know, swing by and pick it up.
Yeah.
In the mailbox, maybe.
Yeah.
Anybody need anything while I'm out? Coffee? Food?
No, you better get back quick.
Yeah, Bruce, you're not going to have time to stop anywhere.
Dude, don't dilly-dally,
yeah,
man.
Seriously.
We're going to need you here.
I'll see him around 9:15.
I think the people start showing up around, like, 7:30.
Yeah.
So and there's preliminary stuff that needs to be done before they come on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my bad.
Oh,
I apologize.
That happens all the time.
But. That is completely my fault.
Go get him, Bird.
Yeah. Go get him. Go get him, boy.
Yeah. So that's going to be.
And then my wife is going to be so happy that I called. I couldn't find I set my phone as a backup alarm, and I left it like in the room today, in the bedroom, but I'm not allowed to turn on the lights or all hell breaks loose. So I was calling it, and I called it three times, and finally she got up and got the phone. The third time I called it. Like, and then she gets pissed. I got to go to work. This is something that I have to do. You live in a small apartment, yep, basically, and you shower in the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I have the two alarms that go off. So I have an alarm and I have the one on my phone.
Yeah, I have two alarms that go off.
But, I mean, Mary could sleep through anything. So, I mean, she's just used to it.
Very delicate dance we do in my house. Very delicate.
And but, by the way, when we did afternoons, my wife was working, she would get up and shower and turn on all the lights and, mm-hmm, and shower for like a half an hour and blow dry her hair.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the epitome of a double standard.
And then it's like I'm a piece of garbage because I'm going to work. Do you think I want to get up when I get up? And do you think I want to come here at that time, at this time in the morning? I don't want anything to do with it. It's the reason there's no one on the roads, because it's an ungodly hour. And I guarantee you when I call, she's going to be pissed. I guarantee you. I mean, it's not like the middle of the night. I mean, now it's, right, when I call her, it's going to be 6:15.
Sure, sure.
I mean, that's not a ridiculous time to get up.
Now, is she going to yell at you or be like this silent standoffish, all right, type of thing?
She's not going to yell, but she's going to be pissed off. And then I'm going to be even more. Then we'll fight.
Okay.
Verbally, of course.
Of course. Right. I mean, you don't do the other thing. Come on.
No. But, it's going to cause problems. Because I'm going to call, and then it's going to cause problems.
What time is Milo up in the morning?
I don't... They on weekdays, sleep late. And then on weekends...
When it's Fortnite time, Milo's up at 6.
When it's Fortnite time. Yes. And he just busts into the room and just goes...
Where's the iPad?
He just busts into the room. And goes... And just goes... I'm a Fortnite.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You've already woken me up.
You're up. That happens to me, too.
Yeah.
And once I'm up, I'm up. I can't go back to bed.
Well, I go back to bed.
I can't do that.
But I go back to bed 2 hours later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. For me, if I'm not asleep again in 15 or 20 minutes, that's it.
Oh, for the day. The second sleep's the heaviest.
I know that.
Like, if you get woken up at like 6:30.
No, but that's like the holy grail for me, Rich. I constantly look for that second sleep because I know, like you sleep like a rock the second
deepest.
Time around.
Oh, it's the deepest.
I can't do it.
Well, he gets up at like 5. I know he gets up at like 5 and just sits in his bed. My daughter doesn't do that, but he gets up at 5 and just sits in his bed and just waits. And now he's got a phone, and there's some kid that calls, like, constantly.
Oh, boy.
To play Fortnite. And so, to the point that we have to turn off his phone. I was talking to a guy who has a kid in college, and the kid comes home and just plays Fortnite, like, all day.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, and they pop the headset on and do it with their friends.
Yeah. Whoever created Fortnite... There's like this magical music at the beginning of it. I don't know how your kids have avoided this thing.
They're into Mario Kart big time. Like
mine too.
It's Super Smash Brothers. Like
mine too. We got them a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. It's Mario Kart.
Oh, I love Mario Kart. Yeah. I love that game. Like that's one game I have no problem sitting down and playing with them for an hour. I'll sit there. I'll play Mario Kart with them for a while. That's fun as hell.
A game.
Well, then you're missing out on Fortnite, which is the bell of the ball.
Yeah. And the best thing is that Mario Kart doesn't have little in-game things you can buy to cost a ton of money.
There's no killing.
No.
Kind of nice.
Well, if you were trying to avoid them finding killing games, congratulations, because that's going to last about a day.
I'm pushing it back as far as I can.
Well, they're going to figure it out. I mean, do they go to other kids' houses?
Yes.
They're playing Fortnite.
Probably.
Yeah. If they go to other kids' houses, they're playing Fortnite.
I choose to ignore it, though, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can ignore it. I don't, there's nothing, I mean, it's not going to make them serial killers. But, yeah, that's what's going to happen, is if they go to other kids' houses, they're playing Fortnite. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Unless you're a psychopath and tell the parents that you don't want them to play football. Oh,
how's that conversation? I'm sorry, little Jimmy can't come over if you have Fortnite in the house.
Exactly.
That makes you sound really stable.
I'm a huge psycho that can't...
While we're at it, let's discuss the menu for dinner that you have.
Right. You ever had a kid come over that has, like, crazy allergies and they give you, like, the EpiPen?
Yeah, I've had that before. And they teach you how to do it right.
Yeah, it's, like, a tremendous responsibility.
I know. You're nervous. You're on pins and needles the whole time. Exactly. You're constantly going to the basement. Is Jimmy okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Is he still running around?
And then they, like, want food and then you're panicking. And there's, like, a laminated list of what they can't have.
Put the peanuts in the garage. You know, it's like, we can make sure.
Yeah, that's a whole other... responsibility. All right, so I'm going to call my wife.
Deep breath, Fred.
She's going to get very angry.
It's for the show. It's for the show.
I don't mind it. If she was had a rational bone in her body, she would realize that this needs to happen.
I just have a feeling that I would have her put it in the mailbox so there's no interaction between Bird and Stephanie, because Bird will just want to talk. He'll just stand there and have himself a nice chat. You got something to eat? You know, try to take a tour.
All right, so I will call now. When we come back, Rich, what will we talk about?
Oh, the Celtics look fantastic. Best game of the year last night. On top of that, we got some coaching news, and Tom Brady randomly pops up in a podcast.
All right, we will hear all of that in just a moment.
Get the app, get the sports hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, last night, the Celtics put the NBA on notice.
Bad entry towards Thaddeus Young, picked up by Kyrie. Fulton ahead for Jaylen Brown, who takes off and lays it in.
Oh, good play getting towards Oden. Quick hands in by Kyrie Irving to knock that basketball away.
13-6 as the Boston run since the Pacers came back to tie the game.
Yep, against one of the best teams in the East, the Celtics score the most points in regulation since 2004 and the second most in the last 20 years. Boston puts up 135 points on the second best defensive team in the NBA, the Indiana Pacers, as the Celtics win their fourth in a row. Jason Tatum opened the game with a flurry of offense, scoring 9 points over the first 2.5 minutes.
Tatum has Bogdanovich lined up, steps to his left, takes the three and makes it. Boogie. And maybe it's going to be a Jason Tatum night.
Is it Boogie Cousins time then? Time to make your man dance.
11-6, Boston by 5. Tatum has 9 in the first 2:40.
Why do you mention Boogie Cousins? I know he's talking about dancing, but why Boogie Cousins?
I don't know. Because it's time to boogie, and Cousins just wound up being at the
why
end
is
of
his
that.
Nickname Boogie?
I don't know. I
have no idea. I don't know where it came from.
I refuse to call him Boogie Cousins.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I've never been a big fan of that nickname as well. Yeah. So
there you go. Take that world.
Maybe somebody knows, but I sure as hell don't.
Well, I refuse.
Marcus Morris continued his excellent run this season with 22 points on just 8 field goal attempts. And Jaylen Brown has seemed to find his stride with his 6th game of 20 or more points off the bench. He was one of 7 players to reach double figures. But one of the best joys of seeing a blowout against a good team is the ability to see guys like Time Lord go head-to-head with the NBA's best.
Holiday attacks the paint, and Robert Williams blocked that shot so hard at such a trajectory, he probably took a divot out of the parquet. He hit that down so hard.
That was Karch Karai. Yeah.
They just toyed with the mouse tonight, and now Yabusele
blocks Karch Karai reference from, like, the 1984 volleyball team.
That's really impressive.
You guys are having fun right now.
Block party.
Yeah, that's nice. Pretty impressive. I mean, come on, give it to him. That's
Cedric
pretty good.
Cedric Maxwell good from the most popular volleyball team of all time.
My man just kept ESPN on all night, didn't he? That's where you would see it.
No, Karch Karai was a big deal.
I know, but he was always but on ESPN was when you would always see those guys.
I don't know, during the Olympics.
Was that 84, 88?
No, that was later. I think that was like 90, wasn't it?
No later than 92. I'm not willing to go any later than 92. Okay, that's 26 years ago.
It's probably like 92. You're probably right.
It's the last like men's volleyball team that I ever watched.
Right.
It was first and last.
Who was his partner? It was Karch Karai, because he was the two-man volleyball team.
No,
right?
That's Beach. I think he was part of the U.S. men's volleyball team.
U.S. men's, yeah.
I thought he was a beach volleyball guy.
He was later, but in this, he was... referencing is the U.S. men's Olympic volleyball team when they were good.
Wow, that's an impressive reference.
That was great. Karai. Not too bad.
And I'm glad I caught it. I didn't know that I could do that, but that's fantastic.
Robert Williams blocking shots. Semi Ojeley diving for balls while up 30. Brad Wanamaker reminding you that there's a guy named Brad Wanamaker on the team. You know what? Your team is doing something right when all Kyrie has to do is score 12 points and you still beat one of the best teams in the NBA by almost 30. Here is Jaylen Brown afterwards.
We're ready. I mean, we've been taking advantage of every opportunity that we get. And I think other teams know when we come out, we're looking to be aggressive. So we got to keep up that mindset, and it's going to take pressure off the first unit. And it's going to help us overall continue to win games when the bench plays well.
All right, you want some Grandy stats?
Go.
All right. According to the Statmaster Sean Grandy, during this 4-0 homestand, the Celtics won by an average of 20.5 points per game, scored an average of 120, shot 50% shooting, and had 137 assists. That's at least 32 in each game.
Same thing we were talking about, sharing the basketball. No one cares who gets the points. I mean, 22 points for Brown off the bench, 22 points for Morris, who started. You know, Tatum had that electric first 3 minutes of the game and then really wasn't needed. He scored 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the Celtics are going to win something this year, this is the way the offense has to look.
Yeah.
And defensively, you say, well, you know, they gave up 108 points. In today's NBA, that's really, really good.
Hang on. That's they gave up 108 points with the last 7 minutes of the game was Brad Wanamaker and nobody's on the court.
I guess what I'm saying is they gave up 93 to Dallas and 95 to Brooklyn. That's fantastic in today's NBA.
Well, without a doubt.
And now they have the three-game road trip, Miami, Orlando, Brooklyn, but the real game is next Wednesday they play Toronto.
Well, that'll be a huge test. But the Celtics had shot 57%. Just five times in the first, 450 games that Brad Stevens coached. They did it twice on this homestand. On top of that, our old intern can rejoice because he can once again wear his ill-advised R.J. Hunter jersey that he purchased.
He's back!
Because the Celtics just signed him back, which who knew where the hell he was, but after reading articles yesterday, I guess after he let go, he was just bouncing around the G League.
Yeah, that's right.
So in 22 games this season, he averaged about 22 points and about 5.5 rebounds, so... Bust out that jersey once again, Mr. Intern, whose name
Intern
I forget.
Joe, I believe
Intern
it is.
Intern Joe, that's who it was.
Yes, it is.
So he can once again wear that sucker proudly.
That was great, wearing the white T-shirt underneath and the R.J. Hunter jersey.
Yeah.
Just don't see any of those.
He wore like a basketball jersey?
Yeah, he came in.
R.J. Hunter.
Like not a T-shirt, but the actual jersey.
No, the actual jersey he ordered online on draft night. Not the James Young. Young went earlier. Young was in the middle of the first round. R.J. Hunter was like the
25th?
Second to last pick. I think it was later. I think it was 28.
28? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of guys walking around with the actual basketball jersey.
Nope. He was one of them.
No, we busted his balls about it, too, because he said he had spent over $100 on that jersey. I can't think of a worse jersey purchase.
Seriously. And he went all Patrick Ewing. He had the T-shirt underneath. It was great.
It's a bold statement to walk around with an actual basketball jersey on.
Well, no, I mean, a lot of people buy those. I mean,
but why?
At games, maybe, but not to work.
No, but why would you buy a basketball jersey?
Well, I mean, I guess the same reason you'd buy a football jersey.
No, but a football jersey is a T-shirt, basically. A basketball.
Have you ever been to Revere?
Again,
this is something that people do wear.
The one thing we need Bert for, he's not here.
Again, my point is stance.
I mean, you can't throw a rock outside the window in Everett and not hit a guy with a sleeve.
Just wait till the new casino opens.
Oh, yeah.
My point stands.
every blackjack table is going to have one of those.
Everyone has Larry Bird jerseys on playing crafts. Trust me.
No, I don't. It's not even going to be Larry Bird.
You know, ripping butts, putting them in Asheville ashtrays.
I mean,
give me the dice.
Yeah,
I mean, they're all you smoke in that casino, right?
I don't know.
Sure. I believe they do in Vegas. I don't think it's they might have a non-smoking section. But, I mean, almost every casino has the little tray that slides underneath foamy part.
I'm just wondering if in Massachusetts if they're going to allow you to smoke.
I mean, that's a good question because they don't allow you to do it in the restaurants
Anywhere.
Or the bars. Yeah, so.
Anywhere.
Well, I don't know how they let you gamble. I mean, it's not on like a Native American reservation or anything. I don't know how they were able to do that.
Well, it only took about a decade to get this done.
No,
so
I understand you have enough money and you can make things happen, but still, by the law, isn't it only supposed to be legal where there's Native American reservations? That's why Mohegan Sun is where it is. That's why, you know, all the Indian River Casino and all that stuff. Or I don't understand how they could just drop in the middle of Everett.
Bought enough basketball jerseys, they'll just let you do whatever you want.
Well, there are plenty of them. So as John mentioned, no rest for the Seas as they head to Miami for a game tonight at Miami. The tip-off is at 7 p.m. Remember when we had Mike Gorman on yesterday and he offered us tickets?
Oh, yeah. Did you go?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You didn't see the pictures?
Oh, well,
this man.
Picture. One picture.
Very happy.
I had listeners tweeting me pictures of you in camera shots.
Yeah, I was not like, I'm not going to take out my phone at this. I'm going to enjoy every second of it. So I get a text from Mike Gorman, and you know they have this thing where you can text you like tickets. And I saw that it had come through, and he texted me, and he goes, hey, did you get the tickets? And I hadn't opened up the email yet, and I said, yeah, this is awesome. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate the tickets. I'm going to bring my son. So right after that, I click on it, and I look at it, and it says, section floor 7, row AA.
You got wood.
And I go, what? And so my man hooked me up with wood, as he was saying. Yeah. I don't want to go unless your feet are on wood. And I meet him before the game. And he walks me over to my seats, and I am front row right next to the basket. And at one point in the game, like, the ball goes out of bounds, and, I catch it, yeah, and I hand it to Kyrie Irving, and they continue the game. Meanwhile, Gorman, because he's a legend, his wife was there bringing my son candy, like, during the game. Like, a little thing of, like, hey, here you go, Hank, here's some candy for you. Like, the dude couldn't be any cooler. Like, the ultimate cool guy. And then after the game, he texts me during it, goes, can you come by the desk once you're done? And I'm like, yeah, of course. So I go over there, and he goes, hey, I want to get a picture of you guys. You know, your wife will probably want to see, you know, Hank on the and you on the center court. And I'm like, I'm not going to have you take a picture of me. I mean, you're Mike Gorman. I'm not going to have you come out here to go, no, sure. So sure enough, like, everyone's watching Mike Gorman taking a picture of me and my son on midcourt after the game is done. I mean, dude is, like, just an absolute legend. I can't believe he did all that crap. But, yeah, for the first time ever, I don't think I've sat any closer than, like, 10th row before in my life. But I was sitting right there, and I saw Chubby Charlie and Pasternak.
Oh, really?
At the game as well. Yeah.
I saw Pasternak there.
Did they show him in the game?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, yeah.
Funny, I did not recognize McAvoy. He was sitting right next to him.
McAvoy's not even playing tonight.
Yeah, McAvoy.
What's going on with that?
He practiced yesterday, too.
I know he did.
Yeah. He had a nice little black Gucci hoodie on, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, McAvoy coming in strong.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They were there as well. But that was the ultimate cool guy move by Mike Gorman. I can't believe he... Dude is a mensch, as they say.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a good time. All right, Rich, what else are we going to talk about?
All right, let's talk about Tom Brady and some of the comments he had yesterday. Shannon Sharp loses his mind, and hey, things got kind of fun with all these coaching hires, huh? We got some home runs.
Yeah. Yep, NFL teams doing themselves proud again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the hire?
What, the Jets hire?
Yeah.
I
love it.
I know you said it before it happened, you wanted Gase, but it's more about Gase's run of success with Peyton Manning than it is about his tenure in Miami at all.
Well, he had nobody in Miami.
Well, I mean, but the point is, they hired him to be a quarterback guru. That's the reason. They want him to mentor Darnold and make him better. And
well, he also
Ryan Tannehill wasn't necessarily really good under Gase's tutelage.
No, and I don't think he's going to be good under anyone's
tutelage. No, but that's the thing. This is more a statement about how much the Jets didn't like Tannehill than Gase's success in Miami.
Right. All right. We will be back here at the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Tucker and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, some good news for the Patriots that doesn't just involve who the Jets hired as their head coach yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute. But with Sunday's game looming right around the corner, it was good to see both Devin McCourty, who was dealing with a concussion, and Cordarrelle Patterson, who was dealing with a knee injury, as full participants in practice yesterday. Meanwhile, Tom Brady is randomly showing up on his buddy Gotham Chopper's podcast, Why Sports Matter. Now, Dan was telling me...
There are so many effing podcasts. Why even do one?
Well, this one has Tom Brady, so...
Well, no. I'm not saying you shouldn't play it.
No.
But like Chopra has got a podcast. Who the hell's listening to that?
Especially if you don't promote the fact that Tom Brady's going to be on the podcast. Why would anyone go buy it and go, hey, let's listen to that?
So that's the weirdest thing about this. Dan was telling me that on the podcast, it lists who the guests are, and one of them isn't Tom Brady. And Tom Brady just shows up, and as you know, Gotham's the guy, buddies. He did that documentary, Tom versus Time.
There's 550,000 podcasts.
So naturally, you don't promote the fact that Tom Brady's going to be on your podcast.
Even if you promoted it, who's going to hear it? I mean, like, who's going to know?
Well, at least someone might take notice of it. And so we go, hey, let's go listen to that instead of relying on word of mouth. Why would you rely on word of mouth when you have over 500,000 people competing with you?
I just don't understand why you would do that now. Like, what the point of it is. I mean, it just gets so lost in the shuffle. Like, why does he take the time to do that? Not Brady, but Chopra. Like, who knows who he is, A, and then who gives a crap what he has to say?
That is kind of interesting. I'd like to see what kind of hits he gets or what kind of downloads or listens from the Brady podcast as opposed to just a normal Gotham Chopra, thing.
I would guess the usual Gotham Chopra thing would be 5 listeners, and this might get him 10,000.
You're probably
right. So maybe
he'll
bring in Brady everything.
Yep, well, here is Brady on Mr. Chopra's podcast called Why Sports Matter, and he was asked about how long...
Now you've reeled me in.
Why sports
matter?
Because I like them.
Wow.
Because they're interesting and they're fun.
Wow. Let me listen to this piece of crap.
So here is Mr. Brady being asked about, hey, how long are you going to play?
Once you stop, you're done. I still feel there's things to accomplish. And I've had an opportunity, based on all the things that have happened the last 12 years of my life, you know, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it.
I would love to play 5 more years. I'd love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. Yeah, it'd be a challenge for me. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's f***ing going to be hard to do.
Whoa! I feel free tonight.
Did you wake up feeling dangerous?
I'm going to be swearing.
He
sounds like a robot. Every year he sounds more like a robot.
I do find podcasts funny when they add like music in the background.
I've never heard a podcast that adds music in the background.
Oh, well then you've never heard a true crime podcast.
Yeah. Like the true crime podcasts are like the NPR stuff is all made like that, but
that's just an interview. Why throw that in there?
Because, you know, he's got time to kill.
If you can't understand the gravitas of what he is saying, how about this whatever kind of drum it is?
I wonder how many times he said that he's doing things that, like, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Like, how many... He said it...
The question's been answered a lot, but he hadn't swore like this.
No, he has
this
not.
This is no namby-pamby interview, as Jim Gray would say.
And if the music did sound like the beginning of Hard Rock and Roll by the Huey Lewis in the News.
I was just speaking... Well, meanwhile, in another interview, Tom Brady was asked how he was preparing for the week, and he responded innocuously by saying he'd been watching film all night because it's the biggest week of the year and that you can't overprepare for the playoffs, you know, stock answer 101, because that's the kind of stuff that Tom Brady gives you. However, Shannon Sharp, who I love, made this statement to a constantly humming Skip Bayless.
Oh, yeah, Skip Bayless going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just filled this cup up with poison.
Mm. Poison?
Really?
Because that's what he makes me do every time he talks.
Really?
So now all of a sudden.
Love that.
Now all of a sudden.
Keep talking, Dom.
Now this is.
Shut up, Skip.
You're talking, Dom.
Shut the hell up.
God, I hate these shows. I'm very negative today, but I hate these shows. Like, even when they were talking about our age thing, just like everyone shut up.
Mm-hmm.
I just filled this cup up with poison.
Poison?
Really?
Because that's what he makes me do every time he talks.
Really?
So now all of a sudden.
Love that.
Now all of a sudden.
Keep talking, Tom.
Now this is the most important week for Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not important for Drew Brees. Mm. It's not important for Patrick Mahomes. Mm. So now only Tom Brady is this week important for. Really, Jeannie?
You are tough on Tom.
Really? Mm. Oh, he's studying film. Can you mind me asking, what was up, Drew Brees?
Who's under the desk? That's right. It's a police academy situation.
That's right. He's giving a speech at the podium.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. I don't know.
See, Tom Brady wants us to believe that he's the only one that studies film. Mm. You think he watched more film than Peyton Manning? But Peyton Manning wasn't out there telling you, oh, I'm watching film. Mm. Oh, I stayed up all night studying. I stayed up all night. You can't get enough of studying.
But wait. Peyton Manning, hung him up, right? It's over? He's doing those nationwide commercials now?
And still got more touchdowns than Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
Still got more touchdowns than Tom Brady.
Who's got the most ring?
Ski body, hey! Still got more touchdowns than Tom Brady.
Dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-
Hey.
The most rings.
Oh, so we're not talking about the Peyton Manning. Why you bring him up?
You brought him up.
You brought him up. Of course, it's the playoffs. It's a one-game season. Mm. It is the biggest game of the year for everybody. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tom, newsflash, not just you.
Yeah.
You're not the only one in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're not the only one that this game matters to. You're not the only one that's studying. Although you would love for people to believe that Tom Brady spends more time studying than anyone. He studied like over 17,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Mm. By the way, I always imagine while Shannon is talking, Skip is slowly enjoying a delicious bowl of pasta. Like,
kerchief.
It's just so delicious.
That would be great. He was just sitting there.
Just
like Lady in the Tramp style.
And he's got his finger up like he wants to talk. Wait, it's just too delicious. I can't say a word.
You know there was like a consultant that was, you know, Skip, you have to acknowledge what Shannon's saying.
Right, audibly.
And do it audibly by humming.
By the way, what's the point he's making? Tom Brady's not saying he studies harder than everybody.
No, Shannon's kind of, you know, he's kind of gone right by that. He wanted to make sure that
everyone understands.
Also, Shannon, you know, hates Tom Brady and hates the Patriots.
Always. Always hated Tom Brady and the Patriots. And that's fine. I mean, he's allowed to do that. But honest to God, it's just if the drum isn't there, stop trying to beat it. You know what I'm saying?
The best is when we would have Shannon Sharp on because he had pissed off a bunch of Patriots fans. And it would just all of a sudden start resorting to making fun of their looks on Twitter. People would call him like a horse, and then he would, I can't even remember.
They would call him a horse, and he would say, horses are the most majestic of animals.
Right, you look like a pig. You know, and he would just come back to just haymakers at the fans. And like people were calling in and yelling at him, and he was ready to throw haymakers too. So I respect the guy that can do that.
No, he's great.
Yeah, oh, he's fan.
When someone said, well, you look like a horse, and he said, horses are the most majestic of animals. He won me over at that moment.
Yep, he did. We should get him on again sometime soon.
Yeah, good luck. We tried to get him once a week, and they wanted like $1 million.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that was before he was...
like Shannon, it was his agent. It wasn't him. And he's like, Shannon doesn't get out of bed for like under 30 grand.
That's right.
I remember
that story. That's right. He doesn't show up.
Well, enjoy your show that no one watches.
And that was fine. We had him on for free for a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, the party was ruined because now he's Mr. Fox Sports, which I think that show's actually doing okay. I mean, but no, he's listening
to it. It's 10 in the morning.
Yeah, I guess for 10 a.m. It's doing better than
it's up against like Floby commercials.
Yes, it might be. And Paw Patrol. So, which Paw Patrol does very well. Read the story about the guy who created it. It's pretty hysterical. He's got his own private island. And the coach that just got fired by the Miami Dolphins just got hired by the New York Jets, Adam Gase.
And nothing matters unless you're an offensive genius or you have success working with quarterbacks. Gase wasn't very good as a head coach. He wasn't. He was under 500.
It's not like he didn't have talent either.
No, I mean...
He got saddled with a bunch of garbage.
He got... Well, this last season he could throw out because they gutted the team. They got rid of everyone. So, but his first 2 years weren't great.
He had Landry.
He was 10-6 his first year. But then after that, They gave him. They went crazy. The team was managed incredibly poorly, and he had something to do with that. But it was
they spent a lot of money on
malcontents.
Well, but in the division, his main success was against the Jets. He didn't do very well against anybody else. Didn't do well against the Patriots or Buffalo.
I mean, Bill Belichick had been fired. I love the Gase hire, and I've been beating that drum for a long time.
They got him because he worked well with Peyton Manning, and they're hoping that some of it's going to rub off and he will continue Sam Darnold's career trajectory.
He got Tim Tebow a playoff win. I mean, he was working with Tim Tebow, and if you can do that, you have my respect.
Okay, they passed up a dude that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, who had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
For a guy with a losing record at Miami.
Aaron Rodgers didn't like Mike McCarthy, and Peyton Manning liked Adam Gase.
Well, no, he called the Jets.
Right, he went to bat for him. I understand that. That's the reason the Jets. It doesn't matter how much experience you've had as a head coach or whether or not you succeeded as a head coach anywhere this year. All that matters is you've done well with quarterbacks and offenses.
Well, especially with the Jets because they have Sam Darnold and they want a guy that can work with them.
But this is a radically different hiring scheme than anything we've seen before. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's offensive coordinator was the head coach at Texas State for like 5 minutes.
That was a terrible hire.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand that. That's my point. There have been a lot of terrible hires here. Freddie Kitchens was the offensive coordinator for less than half a season, but he worked well with Mayfield, and the second he showed up, the Cleveland offense was better. So even though he's never been a head coach anywhere in his career and was an offensive coordinator for 5 minutes, he's the head coach of Cleveland.
I mean, so you have Caldwell, who would have been an average hire. You have McCarthy, who is an exceptionally overrated coach who has lost with two. Imagine inheriting a Hall of Fame quarterback and then being able to have another Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football, and you've won one Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Tony Dungy is someone who would not get hired if he wanted to start coaching again? Because he essentially did the same. I mean, although he had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, only won one Super Bowl with him.
No, I don't think anyone would hire Dungy.
See, I think if Dungy came out, he would completely, I mean, they would fall over themselves to hire Tony Dungy. But I'm with you. I think he was wildly overrated.
All I'm saying is it's just the inexperience of the coaches and,
right.
and the that's lack why of they, success of the coaches that are getting hired across the league is remarkable.
Well, the Jets believe that Gase has been a head coach, and they believe that if you
an unsuccessful head coach.
3 years in Miami and a playoff run. Yeah, I mean, but I toss out this year, and plus he fought with the ownership. Apparently he can command a room, and if you put the right people around him, then he'll. I mean, there was ex players like tweeting out crying emojis.
Who would you rather have had this season, the Jets roster or Miami's roster?
Oh, I mean, Miami's.
He's taking over a team that's in worse shape than the one he just left.
But they're going to be able to get a lot of guys.
I hope they have a ton of money for his sake and Fred, for your sake, frankly, I hope that's
right. But Miami lost a bunch of people last year to injury. So regardless, would I rather as a team building, I'd much rather have the Jets situation.
Would you rather have Adam Gase or Todd Bowles?
I'd rather have, oh, come on. Adam Gase a million times.
Well, Bowles has already proven he can't get it done where he was.
I just think if you took two of them and put them in a vacuum and say, who would you like as your head coach? And even like a couple years ago, everyone was fawning over Todd Bowles.
Well, Todd Bowles is a defensive coach and the team quit on Todd Bowles.
And it is kind of funny how like everyone this year is like defensive. defensive coordinator. We don't want you.
Well, Denver hired Fangio. That's the only one that's straight, right? Straight defensive.
And the Bears were amazing. I mean, that was...
Bears defense. Khalil, I think Khalil Mack had a little to do with it, but still.
Made him look good.
That's how coaches get hired. They work with great players.
Yeah,
but
and he's 60 years old and has never been a head coach.
Yeah.
So have fun with him.
Goes back to what I was telling you about. Inexperience, no track record, and lo and behold, there you have it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, is that out of all the head coach hirings, I think that Gase is the best one. I truly do.
Well, that's not saying much.
Well,
Arians is pretty good. Arians is good.
He's 66 years old.
Well, a year ago, I mean, but just think.
I think Arians is going to do very well at Tampa.
Fine. He's 66 years old.
I know that. And he has cool hats.
And success and flat caps, man. That's all that matters.
Him and Jim Murray.
And by the way, when we get back, Fred, with all these hirings, unfortunately, there was one firing, and a Toucher and Rich favorite, unfortunately, has been shown the door.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll hear about that in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Touchdown, score!
From Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.
No, there you go. All right. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Touching Rich. All right, what happened?
All right, quick bit of news for you, Fred. Well, the Browns, as we know, they are hiring their own. They have tapped offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens as their new head coach.
Oh, don't tell me.
And in the meantime, Freddie Kitchens is clearing out most of the coaching staff. Amongst those that are being let go are defensive coordinator Greg Williams, who now is free to get hired at all those different places.
Take
that said
7,000 jobs.
That's right. Job
test
offers.
That theory.
You can do that now. And unfortunately, Fred, a legend is walking away. Offensive line coach Bob Wiley has been let go.
Hey, you've made a big mistake. Don't open the door to your office. I took a dump somewhere that you won't be finding soon. Look in your drawers. It ain't there.
It's quite a balancing act. Be able to put it in a drawer as big as you are.
Look up in the ceiling. It ain't there either. Hey, can you find the dump?
Come to me.
Yeah, and I left it somewhere nice on your desk underneath the phone.
How long is Scarnecchia's contract? Can we get Bob Wiley in there?
Scarnecchia, I like you too. You're big and fat, just like me. You're big and fat, I love me.
Skrnecki is not fat, I don't think. He's just older.
He's fat.
Maybe it's relative.
Well, I can get naked and not get in no trouble.
Yes, you can. I know that's the truth. There would be no FCC
violation. You can't
violation.
See my balls. Yeah, I'm naked, so what? It ain't illegal.
Well, they did say you were a magician. You practice magic.
Hey, I can't see my balls. Hey, I can't see my balls. Hey, will you lift up my fat? Oh, my goodness, there seems to be some stuff in there. I forgot to wash, and now I got an infection. And I got an infection. Oh, my dear, it's not my day.
It's not my day.
Nah, I got fired. I've done an infection.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, he will be gone. Let's hope at least he goes to the Raiders. That would be nice because then you'd have, hopefully, on him another season of Hard Knocks in which they would be able to concentrate on him. Great. Not that the Raiders have been announced yet, but I'm telling you, if HBO doesn't do the Raiders,
has to do
they're
the
one of
Raiders.
Like the four or five teams that qualify. With John Gruden, come on. I mean, there's no other team that you need to be picking right now.
It looks like the East Coast of Ireland downstairs.
Because it's
green.
Just straight up green. Not really.
God. I totally didn't get that.
Well,
No one did. It was not funny.
I didn't get it at all.
I just think it was going to be that basic. Because okay. I immediately thought green. I'm like, you can't just be talking about it looking green down there.
Yeah, it's mossy and green.
Okay. Moss. Okay. Were you eating trees?
No, it's an infection.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Christ. That part I got.
Yeah. Eat some moldy bread.
Oh, yeah, well, don't mind if you do, huh?
Yeah. All right. Like a refrigerator that hasn't been running.
Right.
All right.
Dan's yelling at us.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll have one half of the Bankroll Boys in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.